Welcome back to Yahoo Finance. Let's get to the latest on the COVID-19 pandemic, because some developments that we're closely watching out today. Health officials are advising the White House to scale back on their booster plan, and that there isn't enough data to support the broad booster rollout that the Biden administration has initially laid out. This is according to a report from the New York Times. So we want to discuss about what this could potentially mean for getting the pandemic under control here in the U.S. And for that, we want to bring in Dr. Ali Raja. He's a professor at Harvard Medical School. And Dr. Raja, it's great to see you again. I guess just your initial thoughts just on what we're hearing from health officials, and why do you think we're getting conflicting messaging here from the White House, and then also what we're hearing from the agencies?
It's a great question, Shauna. You know, the fact is that we want to make sure that we do all of this with the boosters in a really evidence-based manner that's driven by data. And we have good data for the Pfizer vaccine in older patients and especially in immunocompromised patients. We want to make sure that for the other vaccines, especially when we start talking about populations outside of those most at risk, that when we start implementing boosters, we're doing so at a time that we think we really need them. Remember, we're still talking about other variants coming from other parts of the world that don't have any vaccines at all. And so there's a decision to be made about giving boosters to us in the U.S. and other countries versus trying to get the whole world vaccinated.
Well, Doctor, you just mentioned some of those other variants, particularly the Mu one and the Lambda that we have circulating. What are the latest with those, and how concerned should people be about the particular characteristics that define these variants?
It's a great question, Jared. We're still learning about the Mu variant, but it originated in South America and in Europe. And just like the Delta variant that we're all dealing with now, that makes up 99% of the cases here in the U.S., it's showing that it might be a little bit more transmissible than the original COVID vaccine. But here's the COVID variant. But here's the thing: those vaccines are showing that they're still likely going to be protective against really sick cases of patients with Lambda. So the big push that we're making, that all of us in public health are making, to get vaccinated is likely still going to be affected even with the Mu variant. We don't know what's going to happen with other variants to develop, but Mu still looks, from what we've seen so far, like it's going to be okay with the vaccines.
And Doctor, I guess this also brings up the point that maybe, or makes the case that we should be getting booster shots. But I'm curious, how big of a difference do you think the booster shots is going to make? I guess, how critical is it that we get it out in a timely fashion?
Well, it's a good question, Shauna, because here's the thing. We really need the booster shot for patients who no longer make the antibodies that the original vaccine shots were meant to produce. So for those patients who are immunocompromised, for those older patients whose immune systems just aren't working as well as younger patients would, they're going to need those boosters. Whether or not everybody needs the boosters, and whether or not everybody needs the boosters at the same time, 6 to 8 months or so after finishing the first round of vaccines, we don't quite know yet, and we still need to review those data.
Earlier today, the White House just dropped an announcement. They're going to invest $3 billion to invest in the vaccine supply chain. We've heard about all the supply chain problems around the world with other things, in other industries. I'm just wondering, how big of a risk for this? How big is a risk is the supply chain at in the United States for making these various vaccines?
It's a great question, Jared. The thing is that the supply chain, as you know just as well as I do, is broad, right? It's everything from needles and syringes to drawing up vaccines, but it's also things like personal protective equipment that staff that are administering the vaccines and that the rest of us as well need to have. Strengthening the supply chain for everything related to the vaccines and to COVID in general is a great idea. The last thing we want is to find ourselves in the hole with things like PPE and masks and gowns and eye protection that we were in early last year when we were all struggling and reusing everything much more than we should have. So strengthening this entire supply chain is a great idea.
Doctor, we spoke with Dr. Zeke Emanuel yesterday on the show, and he was making the case. He was talking about the fact that children between the ages of 12 and 18, so those who do have access to the vaccines, that we haven't seen nearly as many children in that age range get vaccinated as he was hoping to see, as we initially were projecting that we would see at this point. And he was making the case that it would actually make sense or could make sense to mandate vaccines for this age range. I mean, is that something that you think is going to become necessary as we talk about more and more kids going back to school and the number of cases in children and even those below the age of 12 as they continue to rise across the country?
You know, I'd really hope that we didn't have to mandate the vaccines, because quite honestly, I'm hoping that people see the evidence in the rising cases and that the teenagers want to protect themselves and that parents want to protect their teens. But I think what we've seen historically, especially with other vaccines that we've needed for kids who are in congregate settings like schools are, is that we've had to mandate them in the past. In order to send kids to public school, you have to have a list of vaccines that have been given to kids in most states. And so because of that, I think that while I hope that we don't need to, I do see that we might end up having to mandate vaccines for our kids.
Well, Doctor, before we go, it's Labor Day weekend. I'm quite excited. I got Monday off. Hope everybody else does too. What should people be doing over the holiday to protect themselves and the people that they love?
Well, Jared, first of all, I'm working in the ER on Labor Day. So if you find yourself in Boston and end up with a sprained ankle or something, come on in. I'd love to see you. I think there's a couple of things to do. The first is simply that if you're traveling with kids who are unvaccinated, who are just too young to be vaccinated, it's important that you wear masks indoors, especially even if you are vaccinated. It's a good behavior to model for them. When I'm out with my kids, I try to make sure that we're all wearing masks, so it makes it easier on them. Secondly, and this is actually great because we're seeing some really good weather across most of the country right now, is that if you're going to do activities, try to do them outdoors in national parks or on beaches. Get outside as much as possible. Don't hit the mall for the Labor Day sale. Don't go to indoor movie theaters. Just a little bit more high risk. And then finally, just like any Labor Day, this is the same thing I tell my patients every year. Stay hydrated, wear lots of sunscreen and bug spray. And if you can, stay cool no matter what. If you find yourself getting too tired, too hot, take a break. No need to overheat if you're outdoors a lot.
Very useful tips. Dr. Ali Raja, professor at Harvard Medical School, thanks as always for taking the time.